Just think, one of these days when this life is over, we'll leave here to wake up in the presence of the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll be in heaven with Him, and then when He gets ready to come back to this earth to establish His kingdom, we'll come back with Him, and we'll rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. What a wonderful time that will be. I want to speak tonight from Psalm 2 about the King and the Kingdom. From Psalm 2, the King and the Kingdom. Listen to these words, if you will. What a blessing they are. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. Verse 6, yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. Now this psalm begins with the question, why? And that's the question that you hear asked an awful lot today. And in the following verses, till we come down to verse 6, it seems to be a pitiful commentary upon our present day society, because that's what seems to be happening in the world today. The rulers, the kings, are setting themselves against God. There are so many that seem to feel that if they could only throw off the restraints of this God that they don't even believe in, everything would be all right. But my friends, God has a plan. And His plan is to set His King on His holy hill of Zion. There's coming a day when Jesus Christ will be King of the hill. King of the hill. We used to play that game when we were kids. It's only a matter of time. But it's just as sure and just as certain as though it were already accomplished. Let's think for a moment about that kingdom. Now the difference between king and kingdom, three little words, three little letters, D-O-M. King, kingdom. And that D-O-M means the dominion of the king. That means that he has authority over his dominion. If you remember, in the introductory remarks of the four gospel writers, they introduced us to John the Baptist. And we find that John the Baptist came preaching, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then, when Jesus came and began His public ministry, His message was, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And He called His 12 disciples together and He sent them out to preach, telling them, go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And I believe that we need to preach the kingdom of God today. Now those of us who have been born again, saved, we become citizens of God's kingdom. I'm just as much a citizen of God's kingdom now as I will be when Jesus is sitting on David's throne in Jerusalem in the future. He has made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall rule and reign with him. Now the kingdom of God is a literal kingdom. There are those who believe that the kingdom that Jesus was talking about has been abolished forever and that the church has taken its place and been substituted in its stead. There are others who are very vague in their concept of the kingdom of God. But if you'll remember, just before his ascension, Jesus was standing with his 11 apostles on top of Mount Olivet to the east of Jerusalem. And they asked him a question just before he went up. And it's recorded in Acts 1:6. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Throughout his ministry, they would ask him on occasion, are you going to establish, to reestablish the kingdom of Israel? Now, when they were talking to him, in their minds, they were thinking about the small kingdom of Israel. But the kingdom of God is much greater than the kingdom of Israel. That's only one nation. When Jesus replied to them, he did not deny the fact of his kingdom. He just didn't tell them the time that it would take place. But you know, over in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. My, that's a beautiful verse there. I want to share it with you. This is in the future. There's going to be an announcement made. A great cry will go up that will echo from one end of the earth to the other. And here it is. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. I want you to notice those words forever, because it appears every time the kingdom is mentioned just about it. He's going to reign forever and ever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There are literally hundreds of times in the scriptures where this coming kingdom of God is alluded to. You'll find it all the way from Genesis through Revelation. So much of the Bible is already history, but there's so much of it that is what we call prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled. Now, this is not something to be spiritualized, but it's something that we can look forward to with great expectation. It's something that we can wait for and to hope for and to pray for, because Jesus, one day with his disciples, they said to him, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus told them how to pray. And one of the things that he told them, he says, when you pray, pray, thy kingdom come. And I believe that we are to pray for the kingdom of God to come today. You don't hear that mentioned in enough prayers. But we need to earnestly pray for the kingdom of God to come. And when it comes, it's going to be a wonderful thing. It's going to be a kingdom of peace, without wars and violence and bloodshed. His kingdom will be a kingdom of safety. There'll be no fear, there'll be no danger, and no anxieties. It will be a kingdom of purity, without corruption, immorality, or sin. His will be a kingdom of joy, without sin and sorrow and sickness and sadness in it. It's going to be a wonderful kingdom when Jesus comes to rule and to reign. Now, let's talk about the king, because that's the important thing, isn't it? The king, when he makes the kingdoms of this world to be his, is going to be Jesus Christ. Nobody else but Jesus. For what is a kingdom without a king? God calls him here, my king. I will set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Isaiah, remember what Isaiah wrote? He said, for unto us a child is born. That speaks of the humanity of Christ. Speaks of his incarnation when he was born of Mary the Virgin in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His son was given. And then he said, and the government shall be on his shoulder. His responsibility. He's going to run the government. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1 verse 3. We studied it in Sunday school. Concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power. You see, Jesus had a human genealogy. He was of the seed of Abraham. He was of the seed of David. He was the seed of the woman. But he was in the flesh when he was born. And he's in the flesh now. And when he comes back in the future, he will be in the flesh. And his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives. And every eye shall see him. He'll be in the flesh. When he died, his body was laid in the tomb. But his flesh did not see corruption. He was raised from the dead. Now let's look at some scriptures here, talking about David and David's throne. By the way, we're teaching on Wednesday evenings about David. We're down at the point of David's life now where Saul has been killed and David is going to become the ruler over the nation of Israel. David, this man after God's own heart. Just think, when David, we're going to find out in a scripture we're going to read in a minute. David is gone, but he's going to come back. And David is going to rule Israel again during the millennial kingdom. He's going to rule all Israel. Israel will be divided up into the 12 tribes. And sitting over each of those 12 tribes, ruling on a throne, will be the 12 apostles. Each one of them will have jurisdiction over a particular tribe. David will be the king of all Israel, and then Jesus will be over all the kingdoms of the earth, don't you see? That's the way it's going to be set up. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God made a covenant with David. And in this covenant, he said, and when the days, when thy days be fulfilled, David's days, when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, And he did. David died and was buried. His tomb is there today. But when the days are fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, God said, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. God is going to establish his kingdom. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Now when God says forever, that's eternity as far as I'm concerned. That's forever. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 7. In this prophecy of Christ says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. There again, that's kind of like forever, isn't it? There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. That's his kingdom. The psalmist, Psalm 89, verse 34. God says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever. That's eternity. And his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon. So his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Jesus will be this king. Oh, David's throne is vacant now. Hosea the prophet had said, chapter 3 and verse 4, the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice. And those many days have escalated into many years, centuries since Israel has had their king. But that does not mean that God has broken his covenant with Israel. That covenant still stands. One day, the angel Gabriel was sent down from heaven. He came to the little town of Nazareth. And he found a young woman there by the name of Mary. And Gabriel said to her, it's recorded in Luke chapter 1, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Wow, that's what he told Mary right there in Nazareth. What a promise God made to her. And a little later, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there were some men, wise men, over in the east. They looked up into the sky one night, and they saw a star that was shining bright. And something or someone said to them, follow that star. And they began following that star, and that star led them to Jerusalem. And when they got to Jerusalem, they went in to King Herod and asked, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Later on, when Jesus was crucified, nailed to that old rugged cross, Pontius Pilate had a sign prepared that he put over his head. It was written in three different languages. It was in Greek and Latin and Hebrew. And you know what that sign said? "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Oh, a lot of those that had crucified him didn't like it. They went to him and said, "Pilate, take it down." He said, "No, I'm not going to take it down. What I have written, I have written." And you know, the death of Christ on the cross did not cancel out God's covenant with David, that of the seed of David, a king would rule over Israel. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus now has ascended back to heaven, been gone for 10 days. They waited till the day of Pentecost was fully come, and the Holy Spirit of God came, and Peter got up and he preached, and in his sermon, here's what he said. "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day." We still know where it is over there. "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore," listen at him, "therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Boy, I tell you, I wish I could preach like that. I mentioned last week about being in heaven, and I think one of the joys of heaven is going to be going around and hearing these different people preach. I think we're going to be able to go and sit down, and we'll hear Peter preach, and then we'll be able to hear Paul preach. I want to hear him preach too. And all of these preachers of the past, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. Oh, I'll tell you, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. All right, let's move on here. Let's talk about the place. God said over here in our text in Psalm 2, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." The Muslims have had that holy hill longer than the Jews ever had it. Did you know that? but it's just being preserved. One of these days, God's going to set his king on his holy hill of Zion. By the way, that when he speaks of that, I think he is speaking about the city of Jerusalem. Now, I know that in the Bible, Zion is the hill. It's first mentioned over in 2 Samuel chapter 5 in the Bible. But it's a hill there in Jerusalem. I've been there and walked on it. But the name Zion has come to be used of the entire city of Jerusalem. Somebody wrote a song we used to sing. We're marching to Zion. Remember that? Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. But Zion is a real place over there in Jerusalem. And that's where David is going to have his throne. And that's where Jesus is going to have his throne. Some people think Zion is heaven, but Zion is not heaven. It's a literal place here on this earth. David's throne was there in Jerusalem. We'll find out on Wednesday night as we study his life that he began his reign at Hebron. But he didn't stay down there too long before he moved over to Jerusalem and established his throne there. Now, David was never seated on the throne in heaven. Jesus, the Son, is seated with God the Father on his throne in heaven. But not David. And the fact is that now there is a throne on earth without a king, and there is a king in heaven without a throne. But one of these days, the king without a throne is going to come down and seat himself on that throne without a king, and God's promise will be fulfilled when Jesus comes. When? That's the important question. Let's let Jesus answer it, which he did. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. This verse says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Jesus is coming again. Remember when he ascended from Mount Olivet, those two men in white apparel that stood there spoke to the apostles and said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen go away into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. And the first chapter of the book of Revelation says, behold, he cometh with clouds. Jesus is coming again. But when? When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. That's described in Revelation. Then, you want to know when? Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. When he comes again, he'll sit on the throne of his glory. And of course, that refers to his second coming. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 72, let me share these words with you. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea. That means from the Pacific to the Atlantic. From sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. And he says, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Oh, what a day we've got coming. That's what this old world needs today. Because it's filled with violence, discontent, distress. Sin and suffering are everywhere. And no earthly ruler is equal to its needs. No one man or group of men can meet the need. It's going to be amazing the next year and a half, just about it. We're going to hear all of these political speeches about what these people are going to do if I'm elected president of these United States. You know what? If it wasn't so sad, we would laugh about it. But God sees, and God laughs. We read that, didn't we? God laughs. Man says what he's going to do. That's foolishness. Nothing but a supernatural intervention is going to give this earth any hope at all. But then I look at this in another way, and I see that this is what we, you and I, need in our lives. We need to have someone who will come in and take over. Someone who will take charge and take control. And Jesus is the one that'll do that. He'll come in to our hearts, he will save us, and he'll set our feet on the right path, and he'll establish our ways. And it all begins when we make him the ruler over our hearts and over our lives. We should say, Jesus, you rule my life. You tell me what to do and show me how to do it. And I'm willing to do it. So we need to establish Jesus on the throne of our heart and let him have dominion over our lives. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Appreciate your being here. Now don't leave, because we're going to be celebrating Rachel's birthday. And who else is? Who else has got a birthday? John's got a birthday this month. I saw finger pointing. There we are. All right. That's right. Anyway, we've got some birthdays to celebrate, and we'll have a time of fellowship out there. So let's bow our heads in prayer. And Brother Bryant, would you lead us in our benediction, please?
Our Father, you said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
And so we wait. As we learn tonight, your kingdom is at hand. And it's coming. One day the King himself, the Lord Jesus, shall come and rule and reign on that throne there in Jerusalem. And we shall gather there all the day. Rejoice at a great hour and time of fellowship.